Escapes. Escapes. A Mystic Soundscapes Netcast. The latest news in the world of New Age music, concert updates, artist interviews, contests, and more.
Presented by Mystic Soundscapes Internet Radio.
Because life sounds better. Chill.
And now,
Escapes.
It's Escapes number 22 for Wednesday, June 13th, 2007. I'm Pete Havey. Got a trilogy of podcasts coming your way this week, thanks to my incredible skills of procrastination. In this show, we've got the long-awaited interview with Tim Story, and I do mean long-awaited. Tim talks with me today about his latest CD, Buzzle, and in fact, Tim's interview basically is the show today, since I've been so busy, I barely even have time to produce the podcast anymore. Hopefully, that can change soon. You know, if anybody out there knows any good time management programs, send them my way, will you? I'm going crazy here. In the meantime, enjoy the interview, and while you're listening to this show, I'm going to be over here producing the next one. He's been hailed as a true artist in the electronic medium. He's received worldwide acclaim for his haunting compositions, which blend orchestral acoustic with elegant electronics, kind of electroacoustic music. Tim Story's here today, folks. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Hey, man, let's get started. And why don't you tell me a little bit about your musical background? How'd you get started in the whole music industry?
I'm completely self-taught, actually. My folks always had a lot of music in the house, a really wide variety, everything from Ravel and Stravinsky to like Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass and
wow,
all sorts of stuff. And my parents, my mom played piano, so there was always a piano in the house. So I was always surrounded by music, but was never really interested much in the organized music lessons and the kind of music teaching that was available in the Midwest. Because I don't know, I always had sort of eccentric ideas, I guess, about it. So I always fiddled around with the piano, and I had a guitar that I played around with when I was young, and then became really fascinated by electronic instruments when synthesizers first started coming out in the 70s. So that's what really got my juices flowing, I guess.
Well, that's amazing, and you've really taken that and run with it, I'll tell you that. Your music's on TV and film soundtracks now. You've been nominated for a Grammy, several awards for your albums. What kind of process do you really go through when you're writing and recording your compositions?
I don't know. You know, my approach has always been so idiosyncratic, really, you know, not approaching it from music theory, but just kind of, you know, a gut feeling. But, you know, I guess I had to learn, you know, kind of my own way, because there's really no shortcuts. You know, I experiment a lot with chord progressions and melodic progressions that are, you know, hopefully unique. I guess it's always just been, I've always been really interested in putting sounds together and instruments together. So it's been kind of a journey, you know, to blend acoustic instruments with the electronics that I kind of grew up with, and making them kind of into a whole, I guess, into a real integrated whole that doesn't sound like a pasted on electronics with you know, acoustic instruments, trying to kind of blend them into the same atmosphere, the same space.
Have you found during your career that certain music or other musicians have had a major influence on you or your work?
Yeah, I guess a lot of, it was probably at the time that I was most influenced was probably when I was a kid. So I would say, you know, Debussy and Erik Satie and, well, actually Satie sort of came later, and Stravinsky, that sort of thing. But then I was really into the sort of new jazz that was coming out. The Mahavishnu Orchestra, you know, some of Santana's things. I mean, so there was always this sort of little bit of pop flavor mixed in with the sort of odd modern classics that I'd been exposed to, kind of. And then, you know, all the way up through, I worked in a record store when I was about 16, so I was really turned on to a lot of stuff like early Eno and Roxy Music groups like Can and Robert Wyatt, Soft Machine. There was a lot of really great stuff happening, and it really opened my eyes. I grew up in the Midwest, and as you can imagine on the radio, it was pretty much, you know, Bob Seger and Aerosmith.
Right.
So, you know, that really opened my eyes. It's like, wow, there's a whole world of music, and all of a sudden I didn't feel like my stuff was so weird anymore, you know.
Thank you. Now, your most recent CD is Buzzle, and I love this album. Let's talk about this one for a bit. First off, where did you come up with that title?
It's a great little story. I'd been doing a soundtrack for a Spanish documentary called Caravan that was produced by Pedro Almodovar's production company. He has a production company that does full-length sort of ethnic-based documentaries. And the guy that hired me, who was the music supervisor, was talking about Madrid, and he was talking about my music, and he said that your music is so different than the Buzzle of Madrid. And it was this sort of, you know, strangely twisted version of probably Buzz and something else. But I just loved the word. It was just great. It really conjured up this great sort of kind of city, but kind of funny at the same time. You know, humor. It's a funny little word.
It's great. I think it really describes the album pretty well too. Because Buzzle is a diversion for you. You use contributions from friends and even family, and it's a fun album to listen to. I noticed a lot of your compositions have inherently a narrative style to them. Tell me how Buzzle is different and how it came about.
Well, I, as you know, most of my solo work is quite sort of moody and quiet. It doesn't have a lot of real rhythmic influences, although I've always worked with rhythm to create sort of odd melodic lines, and I've always been very interested in rhythm, but I have never really, my career path never sort of went in that direction, so this was really a lot of fun for me. I mean, there's things that you can do with rhythms and beats, and I'd always been interested in electronic music, the groups like Cluster and Can that were doing very, very rhythmic music, rhythmic electronic based music back in, you know, the 70s. So even though I had never really visited that in my own music, it seemed, you know, I'd always wanted to do it. So while I was working in the past couple of years on these other projects, one was this soundtrack I mentioned, another was Lunes, a collaboration with Hans Joachim Rodelius that we did a few years ago. In the midst of all these, I found myself just really for pleasure starting to create these little, you know, more rhythmic pieces, and I ended up with a lot of them that I really liked, and decided, you know, I shouldn't just keep this under a rock. I'll see if anybody wants to release it, and the small label Barking Green in London liked it and decided they'd like to release it, though. So that's kind of how it came about.
Several contributors here, and including your two daughters.
Yes. I really salvaged a lot of, plundered maybe is a better word, a lot of sources for the little bits in this record. I mean, I went back. There were old tapes that I had done from the late 70s that I scavenged little bits from. My kids would fiddle around with these little digital recorders and just record like absurd little plays and funny things. And there were some little bits from there there's a Christmas song sung backwards that found its way onto the record. So yeah, there's just all sorts of little bits and pieces of really my whole past that sort of resurface in Buzzle.
What a great album this is, man. I congratulate you on this. This is actually turning out to be one of my favorites because it is such a diversion for you, and I think you did a fantastic job with it.
I really appreciate that, especially because it is such a, you know, little oddity in my, and you know, my collection of music. So it's really nice to hear that. You know, for a long time I just sort of thought, well, this is fun. I've kind of made the record for myself in a way, and so it's really gratifying to hear that you enjoy it.
Hey, tell me, what would you like your listeners to experience when they hear your music? Ideally, what would you like them to take away with them?
Well, I like the music that I like always gets under my skin, and it's more like an independent movie than a blockbuster, if you know what I mean. It's more where instead of the music coming out and smacking you with this 100% entertainment product, I'm always hoping that I can sort of get under people's skin, even if it's slightly uneasy feelings and, you know, a little bit of real life instead of just, you know, some surface pleasure. I've always hoped that I could, you know, get in a little deeper and hopefully draw out a response from the listener that's kind of a meeting point with myself and the audience rather than me just sort of, you know, giving up this sort of entertainment product. So I guess that would be it, that people find that they keep coming back to this, and that it changes its meaning depending on how they feel, and it sort of, you know, somehow entwines itself into their lives somehow.
Yeah, it seems like a much more of an interactive experience than just passive listening.
Good. I'm always happy to hear that. And, you know, in a day and age where people really have a lot of entertainment choices, it's a lot to ask people to, you know, to put a little of themselves into something, to have the patience to listen to something a little deeper. But, you know, hopefully that there's enough in there that on repeated listenings that there really is more that they can get out of it than just a, you know, a surface experience.
What's on the horizon for Tim Story? Any upcoming projects you want to share before we wrap up?
Actually, I'm working on another Lunce record. Lunce was this collaboration with one of the Cluster founders, a very influential electronic musician, Hans Joachim Rodelius. He came and visited me in my studio here in November. We got a lot of tracks down. So right now I have a couple months of getting that all composing little bits and kind of finishing that up. So that's the next thing I'm working on right now.
Oh, I can't wait. Love the original Lunce was fantastic. Now, your website, timstory.com, you've got, is that your entire discography on there?
That's pretty close. A friend, fan kind of helped me put up a MySpace page also. So there's a Tim Story Music page in the which is actually, he's done a great job, and actually it's a little more complete at this point, I think, than even my own website. So I think if you just go to MySpace Music and you type in Tim Story, it'll probably show you where the site is. But that is quite complete. He's really done a lot of work in getting up all the little compilation appearances and little one-off things, and he's kind of a completist, so that's a pretty good list of everything on there.
That's pretty awesome. I find a lot more artists these days are keeping their MySpace pages way more up to date than their own websites, actually. So
yeah, you know, he worked on me for a long time. It's like, you got to do this, and I'm thinking, oh, MySpace, that's what my high school kid, you know, wants to put a. And he said, no, there's, you know, Steve Reich and Eno. I mean, everybody's got a page, and I'll tell you, ever since being on MySpace, there's actually. It's a very active music community there. There's friends and collaborators and just people I haven't been in touch with for years that have sort of discovered my page there and made reconnected and everything. So it's been a really a great resource to hook up with people again.
It has been the same for us here at the radio station, and I'm actually watching several artist projects come together with people collaborating through their MySpace connection. So it is a
It's great, yeah.
Awesome resource.
Yeah, it really is, and it's exactly what you make of it. So, you know, you can. I've just been very pleased with the number of people that come. There's a lot of Buzzle samples there, and I've had a lot of people listen to them and comment and get back. So it's been really great. I think it's what the good future of the internet really is all about.
So. Oh, it is. And I want to make sure before we go, people know where they can pick up your CDs. Aside from your websites, they can also pick them up basically everywhere, right? We've got CD Baby.
Yeah, CD Baby, Amazon has them now. The online places will be the best bets because it's a English import, and it's probably going to be slow to kind of get in the bricks and mortar stores. But at this point, my website, all the links, my MySpace page has a lot of links to the various places you can get them. But CD Baby is a good place. Amazon has them. And my website. Those are the ones I definitely know of so far. So
perfect. Well, we're going to send as many people there as we can.
I appreciate that. Every little bit helps.
Hey, Tim, thanks so much for sharing your incredible music and your talent with us. It has been really an honor and a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thanks very much for your interest and support of the music. It really does mean a lot.
It's Tim Story, ladies and gentlemen, and from Tim's latest CD, Buzzle, this is Dust Bale Hole. Thank you. That's Dust Bale Hole from the CD Buzzle by Tim Story. If you haven't checked it out yet, give this album a listen, folks. It's such an interactive experience that I really think you're going to enjoy it. And again, my apologies to Tim for taking so long to get this interview online. I think we did this interview, wow, it might have been the last day of January or early February, and here it is June. So, yeah, once again, it's Pete the Procrastinator. Tim, I apologize, and you know, I'll come in and wash your dishes, clean your house, whatever I have to do to make it up to you, man. All right. And folks, be sure to check out Tim online at timstory.com and listen for more of Tim's music on Mystic Soundscapes. Well, that wraps up the show for today, folks. We have another couple of shows coming up for you this week. An interview with Catherine Duke from Australia, which is another belated interview, which I did in February and is just making it now onto the internet. And we've also got a recent interview, which I did earlier this week, with John Nixon from 7 and 5, and that should be up by the weekend. So we're making up for all the shows we missed over the past couple of months. Stock up on those coffee beans or those beverages and check our website for all the details on when these shows will be online this week. Thanks for checking us out. For Escapes, I'm Pete Havey. Escapes.